All right, tonight I'm going to ask you to grab your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. And there is just half of a verse in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, and it is actually verse 18a. Proverbs 29, 18a. By A, I mean the first half of that 18 verse, Proverbs 29:18. You may even know this one by heart. What does it say? Where there is, say it with me, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to share some thoughts based upon just that part of Proverbs 29:18. And I want to do so because you and I are constantly overloaded with information from all different forms of media. And with all of those voices always talking to us, it's very easy to become confused. If you listen to media, you're going to think that the nation's problems are we need new leaders, or we have a terrible economy, or police brutality, or racism, or immigration. But you and I, who are truly believers, ought to know that the problem is much, much deeper than that. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. It is quite alarming to me, having spoken to different pastors and their churches, it's alarming to me how many Christians are not getting the information from the Bible. But they're getting their information from worldly sources, worldly reasoning that is being driven by current events. Very dangerous. Proverbs 29:18a, where there is no vision, the people perish, really identifies our nation's condition and how we got there, and in doing so, it pinpoints America's greatest need. And I want us to look at it after we pause a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this proverb, and I thank you for the truth that it contains, and I pray that what you want us to understand this evening and to take away from our brief time in the Word of God would have lasting impact upon us, especially at this time. Lord, we pray that you would train us to be a Bible people, in the sense that we, like the Bereans, would search the Scriptures to see if these things be so, to find what God says, to get your viewpoint and not a worldly viewpoint on anything, and specifically current events that we just mentioned. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit of God would have his way tonight, and that you would use this time to accomplish the purpose for which you would send forth your word. Do it all for your glory, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to take you to Proverbs 29:18 and look at that phrase, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I want to first of all have us look at it, can I say, linguistically? I want to look at the terminology, and I want to focus in on two words that really are what this verse is all about. Right at the center of that phrase is the word vision. See that? Where there is no vision. I want us to focus on that Hebrew word, chazon, the word vision in our English language. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I have heard preachers take that text and use it like this. Every believer needs to have a goal in life. They need to have a dream that God gives them that they can follow and pursue. And that's exactly not what this verse is saying. That has nothing to do with what this verse is saying here. It is not teaching that you need to have a goal in life, although goals in life aren't bad if they're good ones, if they're biblical ones. What this verse is teaching is you need vision. Well, what is vision? Well, the word here literally means, comes from a verb that means to see. You need to see. Vision is the ability to see things, but not just to see things, but the ability to see things that are revealed to us by God. That's the kind of vision that this proverb is talking about. That's the kind of vision that I and you and all believers need. We need to be able to see things as God reveals them. We need to stop relying upon human wisdom if that's what we're doing. We need to rely on a wisdom that is only given to us by God. You know, it's interesting to me that the prophets were called seers because they were given the ability, they were given vision. They were given the ability to see what God revealed to them. And so they were seers. We all, in one sense, need to be seers. We need to see what God has revealed to us. And the place where you see that is none other than His Word, what we call the Bible. I want you to see another word in that phrase. Where there is no vision, the people, what? They perish. And that is another key word. I read a translation that said something like this: where there is no divine guidance, the people run wild. Interesting. The word perish literally means to let loose. It is actually used in a woman letting her hair down. To let loose, to fall apart, if you will. And put in that context, what it's saying is, where there is revelation from God that is ignored, where the Bible, if I could put it in those terms, where the Bible is ignored, people, society will fall apart. It will be let loose, and it will fall apart. That's what the verse is teaching. Now you see where I'm going with this, because if I can now turn from terminology or looking at this linguistically and talk about history, you've heard it said there's one clear fact of history, and that is that people don't learn from history. And someone else said, because we don't learn from history, we're always doomed to repeat history. We can look at many examples. I'm only going to look at three real quickly tonight of how this truth is proved out, that when the Bible, the Word of God, is ignored, society falls apart. And I, of course, should take you, first of all, to Israel. Without God speaking through the prophets, the people of Israel fall apart. Now, I remember reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, that in the early days of Samuel's life in the temple, he was just a little child when he entered the temple. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:1 that in those days, the word of God or the revelation from God that was given through the prophets was precious. And the word precious literally means it was rare. In other words, the prophets were not giving revelation on a regular basis from God. They weren't getting it from, the prophets were apostatized is why. And so there was very infrequent word from the Lord through them. Now, let's put Samuel in his historical context. Samuel was not only a priest, but he himself was a prophet. Given revelation, vision from God, but he was also a judge in Israel. You remember the period of the judges? I have to tell you that there are parts of the book of Judges that are hard for me to read. I don't really enjoy reading them. And I don't, I'm not saying you need to turn there, but Judges 19, for example, is a horrible, horrible account. And I don't like reading it at all. It's butchery, it's murder, it's immorality. It's terrible. But the period of the judges was a period when there was no vision. And so society fell apart. In fact, a recurring phrase in the book of the Judges, at least two or three times, is that there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. That is a picture of absolute anarchy. And that's what it means to perish. When society does not have the Word of God to turn to, it turns to itself and it disintegrates. It falls apart. It runs wild. It turns to anarchy. There's another historical nation or empire I should talk about, and that's Rome. Last week we were looking at the book of Romans, and we were looking at chapter 1. The Roman Empire was a massive empire. It stretched from as far west as the British Isles, and it stretched as far east as Egypt, southeast, and also Iraq. It was a massive empire. And the Roman Empire, according to the classic work on it, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire by Edward Gibbons, Gibbons said that the empire, it perished, it was destroyed, not by the barbarian hordes that overran it, but that it destroyed itself gradually over many years, and it can be traced specifically to the weakening of the empire due to immorality that overran it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we looked at what Paul said in Romans 1, the second half of that chapter last week, and that applied to the Roman Empire. He was writing to the capital city and the church that resided there in that city. Where there is no vision, where God's revelation is withheld, where the Word of God, the Bible, is ignored, society falls apart. It perishes. It self-disintegrates. Now let's take a third example. Last Wednesday's sermon was about America, and we took the second half of Romans 1, and we didn't apply it to Rome. We applied it to ourselves, and we talked about the cause of America's problem, and we looked at how America is guilty of suppression of the truth of God's word, and how it has manipulated and how it has substituted the Bible and God for other things, man-centered things, and I mentioned human secularism. I the word just escaped my senior mind, but anyway. And then we talked about the consequences of that. We looked at verse 24, we looked at verse 26, we looked at verse 28. Immorality, homosexuality, and then insanity. And I said that's where we are as a nation. And I'm not going to repeat that message, although I think there should be a bit of review, because I think we need to keep this in mind. And if you haven't, I think you ought to go back and hear the message, because it really connects with what I'm trying to say right now. So we looked at this phrase linguistically briefly, and we looked at it in history. And thirdly and finally, I want to then take this phrase, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is an ignorance of God's word, society falls apart. And I want to then center and focus and finalize my thoughts on the word necessity. Morality in a nation is always the result of this kind of vision that the writer of Proverbs is talking about. Morality is always Bible-based. Where there's morality, the Bible's at the base of it. If we have a moral standard in this country, you can trace it back to the Bible. Noah Webster said that the Bible is the moral glue that holds the nation together. The Bible is the moral glue that holds our nation together. In other words, you remove the Bible, and essentially what he's saying, the nation falls apart. The Bible is the moral glue that holds our nation together. Now, America has removed the Bible from her a long time ago. Not all Americans, I understand that. But officially, in public life, the Bible has been removed from America. Is it any wonder then? Should it be amazing to us what we are witnessing right now, what we are experiencing as a country right now? Because where there is no vision, where the Bible is removed, society falls apart. And what we are witnessing, to much to my horror and my sadness and my chagrin, and yours, I hope, too, is we see a nation that is disintegrating right before our eyes. It's falling apart. The Bible has been removed from her. And so I would say this, America's greatest need is God's vision. And when I talk about God's vision, I'm talking about God's wisdom. And when I mention God's wisdom, I'm talking about the wisdom of God that is embodied in our Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have one great need as Americans, and that is not an improving economy and jobs market. What our greatest need is, I'm not saying that's not important, but our greatest need is that we would pay attention to the Bible, that we would give attention to the Word of God, because where that is ignored, the nation collapses. Currently, we're witnessing that in our beloved nation. So what do we do about it? Well, I want to quickly review several thoughts that I shared with you last week, and then I want to add one more, okay? Last week, I said what we do about it is you as an individual believer, you offer up to God your life in surrender. You offer God a surrendered life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. You surrender your life to Him and don't ever take it off the altar. It's a lifelong surrender. It's not just for a time. It's not just while you're young, and then when you're older, you take it back. Or it's not for a period. It's a lifelong surrender that we're calling for. And it's based on the mercies of God. And when you consider God's mercy to you, I'm telling you, to surrender your whole life to Him, that's reasonable. That's your reasonable service. And then not only a surrendered life, I said a spirit-filled life. And we talked about the fact that Paul says in Romans chapter 13 that in these last days, at this late hour, we got to wake up. We can't do anything but strive to live a holy life. Now is the time to live a holy life. And I talked about a spirit-filled life and how Romans 6, 7, and 8 fit into that. And I would say the spirit-filled life involves a death to self. I am crucified with Christ. But it also involves a resurrection with Christ, which is His life of power in you, expressed through you. But thirdly, according to chapter 8 of Romans, it also is an expression of the Spirit counteracting your sin. Your sin, your flesh, that sin principle is still active in you. It still abides in you. The effects are still there. But the thankful thing is the Holy Spirit of God has the power to counteract the law of sin and death. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free, liberates us from the law of sin and death. And then I said, what we do is we have a soul-winning life. In other words, that we are evangelistic. And evangelism is not something that we do on Sunday afternoons. Evangelism is a lifestyle. Evangelism is a everyday thing. And so when I'm talking about we live a soul-winning life, Paul said, I'm a debtor to all men, to the wise and to the unwise. I'm a debtor to all ethnic groups. I'm a debtor to all cultural designations. I'm a debtor to all men. And he says, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you reprobates there in Rome. And that wouldn't be wrong for him to say reprobates, because he said that God has given them a reprobate mind. But he said, I'm still ready to preach the gospel. And I know that that gospel can do the trick, because it's the power of God. The gospel is the answer. Jesus is the soul-saving power that is so needed, that is really the heart of this Bible. Where there is no gospel, where there is no saving power of Jesus, the nation falls apart. And then I said, we need a spiritually awakened life. And we talked about what Paul said in Romans 12, continue earnestly or devotedly in prayer. And I mentioned how we need to be constantly praying, seeking the face of God, the presence of God for personal revival, and also praying for God to intervene in a spiritual awakening in our nation also. Being intercessors, like Abraham, we talked about on Sunday morning. One final thing that I want to add tonight is this. What do? We're a nation that has ignored the Word of God. We've gotten rid of it in our public life. What do? We need a Scripture-based life. And I'm thinking back to Romans 12 again in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, folks, how do we as believers renew our mind? How do we do that? What is the mind renewing in the believing life? It's the book. It's the vision. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And so I'm saying we must have a Scripture-based life. We need to constantly be renewing our thinking with biblical thinking, because worldly thinking or a worldly viewpoint will make your mind a dump. It's vitally important that your mind be unpolluted, because as a believer, you are the firewall that is holding back the judgment of God on this nation. And you and your prayers are the key to God pouring out His Holy Spirit on this nation. So renew your mind. Renew your mind day by day. Be a Scripture-based believer. What I'm saying is that you need, if you haven't, you need to develop and continue to develop a Bible grid, if I could call it that, to sift all the media through that is coming at you. Sift all the media through a biblical grid so that you'll be able to discern what's right, what's wrong, with all the talk that is constantly coming at you. You need a biblical grid to do that. You know, even when I watch old Disney movies with my children then and my grandchildren now, they're rated G. But I tell them, that's wrong philosophy. That's wrong thinking. That's not right. That's evil what that person's doing. You know, you gotta sift everything through a Bible grid, and you got to train your children to do that as well, to think biblically. Otherwise, they're going to get sucked into all of the talk that's coming at them, bombarding them all the time from the media. I want you to learn, and I want us to learn as individuals and as a church, to sift everything through the grid or the sieve, if I could say that, of the Bible, so that we can properly discern what is right thinking and what is wrong thinking. Very important that we do that. Otherwise, we're going to get carried along with the wave. So, that said, I close with a personal challenge to you all. Are you ready for it? August is a month that has 31 days. Proverbs is a book that has 31 chapters. So what I challenge you to do is to begin to read one chapter of Proverbs every day of the month of August, which means beginning this Saturday, August 1st, you read Proverbs chapter 1. And every day of the month of August, you read a chapter number that corresponds to that day. You read chapter 1 on Saturday, August 1st. You read chapter 2 of Proverbs on Sunday, August 2nd, etc. But do this. Take the challenge. How many would honestly say, I'll do that. I'll do that for the month of August, all right? Take that challenge, but each day before you read that chapter in Proverbs, ask God to show you his wisdom and promise him that you will apply that truth to your life that day. Okay? Don't just read, but before you read, ask God to show you his wisdom with the promise that if he'll show you, you'll practice that truth in your life that day. Because why would he bother showing you something if you're not going to do anything with it? The waste of your time and his. Thirdly, as God opens up your spiritual eyes, I want you to be sure that you record the wisdom that he reveals to you, the vision he reveals to you, in a notebook or some form for future reference and review. I think that Proverbs chapter 2, listen to this, it really tells us to do this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and ply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice from understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, treasure, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's the kind of take, that's the kind of attitude we need when we open the Bible anytime, but when we open the book of Proverbs during the month of August, I want that to be our attitude. I want us to be just dead set on seeking God and his truth, his wisdom. We need this. Society is falling apart. Someone has to have a vision. Someone has to have God's viewpoint. Someone needs God's wisdom. And then one final thing that I'm going to call you to do in this challenge, and that is that you see to it that you share what God shows you, the wisdom he gives you, that you share that with others. And I promise you that I'll give you a weekly opportunity to share that with the congregation right here. Okay? All right, so let me review. Beginning Saturday, August the 1st, you read chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs. Before you read the chapter each day, you pray and ask God to show you his wisdom with the promise that what he shows you, you'll put into practice that day. You'll apply it. And as God opens your eyes, you will write it down. You'll record it so you can reference it and review it, and you will share it with others. Any questions? Good. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this little phrase, where there is no vision, the people perish. May we never forget it. May we understand tonight what it means, and may it be something that keeps us on the mark, keeps our focus on you, that we wouldn't get swayed and get distracted by the evening news or by the blogs or whatever it is, the social media, that we would just be, we would know the truth, that we might be liberated from minds that otherwise would be polluted and would be deceived, that we'd have your discernment and your freedom and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.